take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, and you might think, that's not the book of Mark, and you are very observant if you thought that. We're going to take a little break here for the next few weeks as we do some celebrating about what God has done, God's faithfulness. And some of you may have thought, why are we taking time to go and celebrate 30 years? Well, we're going to look at the scriptures today and see how there is some incredible worship that takes place in remembering what God has done previous. And so our whole theme for next week is celebrating God's faithfulness. 30 years is a long time. Now, in a church world in America, we say that when a church turns 25 years old, it becomes what we call a legacy church. That means there are some roots that are there. That means that they have some traditions, some things that are long-lasting. They have some impact, hopefully, in the community. And so we are 5 years past that, and we want to celebrate God's faithfulness. And so we're going to look at Joshua chapter 4. We're going to look at Joshua 3 as well a little bit this morning. But if you found your place in Joshua 4, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning? Joshua chapter 4, we'll read the first 9 verses. After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from the people, one man for each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing, carry them with you, and set them down at the place where you will spend the night.'" So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man for each tribe, and said to them, "Go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you should tell them, 'The water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan, the Jordan's waters were cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites.'" The Israelites did just as Joshua had commanded them. The 12 men took stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each of the tribes of Israel, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the camp and set them down there. Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. The stones are still there today. Lord, now as we look into your word, I pray that you would speak truth to our hearts. Help us to understand and apply your word and to leave here changed for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the importance of remembering what God has done. And so we entitled the message this morning, "What Do These Mean to You?" And so as we gather next week and we get to look at some of the fun old pictures that we'll have, and we're going to see friends who have been here before and former staff members and pastors and all those who will be here, and some of those things we'll enjoy and will be funny, and we'll have some great memories, those of you who have been around here a lot longer than I have, and we'll have some really good time. But when we come together, we need to come together with the thought of what is it that we need to remember so that we can move forward? What is it that we need to celebrate? What do we need to learn as we think back over 30 years and think forward to the next 30 years? And I think there's 4 things that we can learn from this passage right here. Number one, where God leads, He provides. This church is a testament to that right there. Where God leads, He provides. Certainly, the past 30 years, not everything has been wonderful, not everything has been easy, but God has continually led this church, God has continually led this people to be here, to gather together, and has provided for them. But if you back up into chapter 3 of Joshua, look at starting in verse 14. This is what's happening. Now, if you remember, what's taking place here is, if you go back to the book of Exodus, Moses decides that he's going to run away from his people because he killed a guy, and they found out about it. And so he runs to the wilderness, becomes a shepherd, is on the backside of the desert, which is like really far out there. and he sees a bush that's burning. He comes near to see this bush that's burning because it's not being consumed. It turns out it's God in the bush. He says, hey, don't come any closer because you're standing on holy ground. And he then commissions Moses to go and rescue his people. He says, by the way, it's going to be really difficult because Pharaoh's not going to believe you. He's not going to let you go, which allowed God to show his great, incredible power with those plagues that we see there in Egypt. Moses leads the people out, and of course, what happens? They wander around for 40 years because of their disbelief. You see, God had already provided for them. He had already paved the way for them, but they didn't believe, and so they were punished. But now it was time for them to go into this promised land. Joshua is leading them. They come up to the Jordan River, which was the edge of this land, and this incredible thing takes place. This incredible miracle that takes place. If you look there in chapter 3, verse 14, it says, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season. But as soon as the priest carrying the Ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, a city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. The priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. You see, God had led them to this promised land. God had even led them up to the banks of the Jordan River, and then God supernaturally provided a way for them to get across this flooded river. I love there that the timing of when they showed up was during the time of the season when the Jordan River was not at its lowest, but at its highest. Not when it was just kind of lazily flowing through, but when it was rushing and roaring. And I'm sure that as they came up to that and they're sitting there thinking, how are we going to get across this? Look at how fast it's flowing. There is no way that we can do this. We're going to have to build a bridge. We don't have time for that. The Army Corps of Engineers isn't here. I don't know how this is going to happen. And they were working, like, worried about how they were going to do this. You see, what God was doing is he was preparing them for something great to happen in their lives. He's preparing to supernaturally take care of it. You see, God is not in the business of taking his people anywhere that he will not personally and completely meet their needs. You see, even right now, God is leading our church into some new endeavors. As you know, we've been led to the city of London, where we will be partnering to do ministry there. And you might think, that's a big place in a foreign country. How's it going to happen? I don't know. But God has led us there. He's going to provide for us. You see, God has also put us in this place right here in Springville, Alabama, to do ministry right here, to reach this area, to reach this county. You say, how is that going to happen? I don't have any idea. But God's going to take care of it. It's a big task. It's something that's impossible for us to do, but God is not going to lead us somewhere and then not personally and completely take care of our needs. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 4, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, we're told this, know that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his gracious covenant loyalty for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commands. In Hebrews 13, the writer says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's what we can know, is that God has faithfully provided for his people all throughout human history, and we are not important enough for him to change his mind now. You see, where God is leading us, he is going to provide for us. And as we gather together next week, and as we have some fun, and as we eat some good donuts and drink some good coffee and laugh at some old pictures and meet with friends and then have lunch together afterwards and just enjoy company, here's what we are saying. God has been faithful to us for 30 years and we fully expect it in the future because he never changes. Number one, where God leads, he provides. Number two, we can see this. God is in the miracle business. God is in the miracle business. If you look there Again, in verses 15 through 17 of chapter 3 and 17 and 18 of chapter 4, we see the Jordan overflowing its banks throughout harvest season. But as soon as the priests carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, a city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. Now, this ark is not Noah's ark. This is the Ark of the Covenant. This is this special box where God said, hey, listen, there's going to be this thing that you're going to put inside, or you're going to make a box, and inside that you're going to put the Ten Commandments. You're going to put Aaron's rod, that butter. You're going to put some manna, different things. And on top of that was what was called the mercy seat. It was overlaid in gold. And every year when the high priest would go into the most holy place, and he would take the blood of that goat, and he would go in to make that sacrifice for the sins of all the people. He would pour it out on the mercy seat, and in that moment, God would forgive the sins of the entire nation for that entire year. It's this incredible picture of salvation. As soon as the priest carrying this ark touched the edge of the water, this incredible thing happened that nobody expected. The water just backed up and stopped. It said, in a mass. You know what that means? Big wall of water. I wish YouTube was around back then. That'd have been great. If there'd been a Facebook Live video or something like that of that happening, it would have been incredible. Because all of a sudden, the water just piled up there on one side and just flowed down towards the Dead Sea on the other side. And then the next incredible thing was that the ground was completely dry. Now, I like to go fishing, and sometimes I like to go wading. And sometimes when you're wading in the water, you hit those pockets where it's really thick mud, and you kind of sink in a little bit. And sometimes you're right on the edge where water's maybe receded a little bit, and it's real mucky and muddy. That's not what this was. This was completely dry ground that God supernaturally did. Look in chapter 4, verse 17. It says, the priest carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. And so you can see there that it was completely dry. There wasn't anything that was slippery or wet or muddy or anything like that. It was an incredible miracle. And what we understand is that because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that God is still in the miracle business. You say, we don't have a river to cross. No, but there's other obstacles that we sometimes have to face. Look at some of the obstacles that these Israelites face. Number one, they might have said this, we've never been this way before. Now, I'm sure you've probably never heard this in church where something happens and they say, well, we've never done that before. See, that argument, that's not a new one. That's been around for a long time. Look in Exodus chapter 3. This is what God said. He said all the way back over 40 years before this moment, this is what he said, I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from the land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the territory of the Canaanites, the Hethites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. You see, God had a plan all the way back 40 plus years before for what Israel would do when they got to the promised land. He was going to give it to them. In fact, they're told everywhere that their foot would step would be their land. They just had to go in and be obedient. And they were sitting there saying, well, we've never done this before. We've never crossed a river before. We've never been this way before. And I love what the Lord says in Isaiah 43. He said, look, I'm about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. You see, whether we like it or not, God is in the business of doing new things. You know why? Because our world is ever changing. We're sitting in this room this morning. We have lights. We have a sound system. We have a screen up there. We have air conditioning. We have comfortable chairs. And even just 100 years ago, church didn't look like this. Back up 1,000 years, church didn't look like this. See, our world is constantly changing. And so we have to recognize that because God changes his methods, not his message, his methods, the way he does things, that we also have to do that. And so he says, look, I'm about to do something new. And so we can see that he's in the miracle business as they come up to this river's edge. How's it going to happen? Well, they just touched the water and boom, it just parted right like that in dry ground. But then they might have also said this, the obstacle that they faced was the river is flooded. We can't cross. Think about that. It was the time when the river was at its peak, at its highest, when it was at its most dangerous, when it was its most impossible for them to get across. How was that going to happen? Well, simply, God took care of it. Then they might have said this, we're going to get wet and dirty. We might get all muddy as we get into this river. Well, if you look there in verse 17 of chapter 4, it says that when the priests walked in, they stood firmly on dry ground. Here's the truth about life. You ready? I don't know if you know this, but life is dirty and messy. People are dirty and messy. And sometimes as we minister to and minister alongside of and reach people, guess what happens? We get dirty and messy. We don't have to worry about that. We just remember that God is the one who's providing the way. He's paving the way for us. Or maybe they said this, our leaders don't know what they're doing. Certainly, we've never thought that before. But if you back up to Joshua chapter 1, now this incredible thing happened. Moses was an incredible man of God. He was the man that God used to bring Israel out of Egypt, led them through the desert to Mount Sinai, received the law, set up the tabernacle, all of those different things. But he had this little problem. He was angry, and because of his anger, because he was disobedient to God, God said, hey, listen, man, you've sinned. You're not going to enter the promised land now. So he raised up a new leader. He raised up Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites. I've given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. So I'm sure that the people looked at Joshua and thought, why is he taking us right now to this river that's flooded? We should wait several months until it goes down and we can cross more easily. But Joshua had a directive from the Lord to go and be obedient. In fact, Joshua had God-sized expectations. He had God-sized expectations. The first thing that he recognizes that they had to prepare themselves. Look in verses 10 and 11 of Joshua 1. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get provisions ready for yourselves, for within 3 days you will be crossing the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to inherit. And in Joshua 3, verse 5, it says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. In other words, get ready. One of the things in our prayer time that we've begun doing, and we don't do it every week, but every once in a while we'll say the first thing that we want to pray as we come to our prayer time is, Lord, would you speak to me? Prepare ourselves for what God is going to do. When we come to church, do we come expecting God to do something big in us and in our church? When we come to church, have we consecrated ourselves? Have we prepared ourselves spiritually? You see, we don't just come to church so that we get a little bit of holy water dumped on us and we can walk away feeling good. We don't come to church to kind of get rid of all the grime of the world. You see, when we come to church, what should be happening in our lives is that each and every day we're spending time with the Lord. In our bulletin every week, we have a section called God Daily of the passages that we're reading together in our personal Bible study. That each day we should be spending time with the Lord, so when we gather together, it is an explosion of holy preparedness. that we are expecting God to do something big in this place and in our lives. So Joshua looked at the people as they were sitting there on the banks of the overflowing Jordan River, and he said, y'all get ready. In 3 days, we're going to cross this river. In 3 days, God's going to do something big. Now, they didn't know what it was just yet. In fact, we don't have any idea that even Joshua knew exactly what was going to happen. But they got ready before it was time for action to take place. Have we prepared ourselves? So his God-sized expectation, number one, was that the people would be prepared, that we would be prepared. His number two expectation was that God would do wonders among them. Look at Joshua 3, 5b. It says, because the Lord, what's that next word, class? Will. Not maybe, not might, not could. Will. The Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. You see, the truth is, if we don't expect God to do great things among us, he never will. God's working is directly linked to our faith. Do you remember in our study of Mark that we talked about when Jesus would go home to his hometown? And it said that because of their lack of faith, he could hardly do any miracles in that place. Why? They had no expectation that he would. Church, do we have an expectation that God will do great things in and through us? Do we have an expectation that as we begin going to London, that God will use us to not only reach the people in London, but the peoples of the world as they go home to their home countries from London? Do we have an expectation that here in Springville, Alabama, that God is going to use us to reach those who don't know him? Or do we just have the expectation that I'm just going to show up to church on Sunday because it's what I do? What is our expectation? Joshua had God-sized expectations. Number one, where God leads, he provides. Number two, God is in the miracle business. Number three, God is worshipped in our remembering. I love this. Well, we're about to talk right here. Man, this is so exciting to me. This right here is one of those things that the more you think about it, the more you just have to step back and say, wow. Because of all the ramifications. God is worshipped in our remembering. Look at verses 4 through 7 of Joshua chapter 4. So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man for each tribe, and said to them, go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder. Now stop right there. When they're talking about stone, they were talking about a little rock, because why would you put a little rock this big on your shoulder? They were talking about big man-sized boulder, right? You with me on that? Go pick up a big rock, and each one for each of the Israelite tribes, so this will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? You should tell them the water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan's water was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. We have a church building and church property here, and when we see this, we shouldn't think of this as just the place where we come and hang out for a few hours on Sunday morning, but we should look at it and say, this is a place where we can see God's faithfulness in the past, and we expect his great faithfulness in the future. That as we drive by and we talk to our children, that's our church, that's not just the place we go. This is a memorial of God's faithfulness. In fact, that's, by the way, parenting 101, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're told that we are to love the Lord our God with all that we have, and we're supposed to talk about the Lord to our children as we get up, as we go to bed, as we walk through life, that we're continually teaching about the promises of the Lord. And that's exactly what they were doing here. But God is worshipped in our remembering in a couple ways. Number one, we remember God's power. Think about that as they took these 12 stones and went to Gilgal and set them up in whatever arrangement, configuration they set them up in. And I don't know what it looked like exactly, but they had a pile of these large rocks that were there. And they would come by and say, what do these stones mean to you? What does this mean to you? They would say, well, let me tell you about what God did. The Jordan River, it was muddy and it was flooded and it was up over its banks. And the priest picked up the Ark of the Covenant on those golden poles. And as they began to even just touch the edge of the water, it just parted. And it was awesome. And they remembered God's power. Number two, we remember His care. Remember what we said earlier? That where God leads us, He will provide for us. When He brought them to the Jordan River, He didn't sit there and say, y'all got to figure it out now. No, what did He do? He provided the way. He took care of them. And they can say, not only did we see God's great power as He parted the river, but He loves us so much that He made a way for us to get into this land that He promised us. But then number three, we remember His forgiveness. Look at this. I love this. In verse 9, it said that Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. The stones are still there today. Now, if you've grown up in church world, you've probably read that before and skipped right over it. This is weird. All right, we run into things in Scripture all the time that are weird. This is one of those things. So Joshua goes back out into the middle of the river where the priests are standing, it's dry right then, and sets up a monument in the middle of the river. Now, in a few minutes, when the priests leave the riverbed, what's going to happen? Not a trick question. The water is going to come back and cover over that monument. So why did Joshua do that? Because it was a picture of God's grace in forgiveness in covering sins. When Jesus' blood was shed, the Bible tells us that it covered our sins. And so here we have this incredible picture of salvation and forgiveness. In fact, Warren Wiersbe said this, the monument in the depths of the river reminded them that their old life was buried and they were now to walk in newness of life. When they crossed that Jordan River, they were signifying going from who they used to be. Who do they used to be in Egypt? Slaves. That they were crossing the Jordan River, and now what were they? Landowners. Conquerors. Paul tells us in Romans, in fact, we're more than conquerors because of the blood of Jesus. And so Joshua goes out there and seemingly maybe as his own act of worship, said, I'm going to do something in addition to this. And he set up these 12 stones so that even though they couldn't see them, that they knew, hey, right there is the spot where God took us from being slaves to being sons, where God took us from the old life to the new life. And so as we remember, we worship. But then also we remember His faithfulness. You see, God was faithful before and He will be faithful in the future. When we stop to look at God's greatness and all that He has done, we should be driven to worship Him because He alone is God. Next week when we gather, as we look at all those old pictures and we see old friends and remember things that have happened many years ago, it should drive us to worship God. Because He has been faithful to Spring Valley Baptist Church. And He's going to be faithful in the future. By the way, do you know what God's faithfulness is contingent on? Nothing. Because God is faithful. So it's not about our obedience. It's about who God is. So when we look at Spring Valley Baptist Church, as we gather together and celebrate and remember, it's because of who God is, not because of who we are. It's not because of that group of people who said, we want a place to worship together and began Spring Valley Baptist Church. It was because of God. It's not because of a group of people who show up this week and next week. It's because of God and His faithfulness. Psalm 148, verse 5 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. That's His power. Deuteronomy 10:21 says, He is your praise and He is your God who has done for you these great and awe-inspiring works that your eyes have seen. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. They said, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. He has thrown the horse and its rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. That was after He defeated Egypt's armies by crashing the Red Sea down on top of them. Psalm 150 verses 1 and 2 says, hallelujah, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty expanse, praise Him for His powerful acts, praise Him for His abundant greatness. And Psalm 148 verse 13 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty covers heaven and earth. God is worshipped in our remembering. As we gather together next week, it's not just, hey, this was a cool thing to do. But it should drive us to worship the one true God. Number 4, God works to bring glory to His name. Look at the end of Joshua chapter 4, starting in verse 20. It said, then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you until you crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed over. Pay attention to verse 24. This is so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. God is faithful, not so that we can say, look at how great we are, but so we can say, look at how great He is. I love verse 24. This is why God did all of these things. This is why God had Israel in Egypt. This is why He had Moses on the backside of the wilderness at the burning bush. This is why the plagues were there and Pharaoh hardened his heart and then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. This is why He parted the Red Sea. This is why He provided manna and quail in the wilderness. This is why they could wander around without their shoes ever wearing out for 40 years. This is why He parted the Jordan River so that the nations could know that He is mighty, that He alone is the Lord. You know why Spring Valley Baptist Church exists? It's not so we have a really cool place that we can come on Sundays. It's not so that we can say we belong somewhere. Those are all great things. Spring Valley Baptist Church exists so that the nations can know Jesus Christ. You know why we're going to London? You know why we do ministry here? Why we have ministry plans for other places in North America? So the nations can know that Jesus Christ alone is God. That He is the only way to heaven. That He is the only way to forgiveness. God gets the glory when His children remember and worship. Man, I hope we have a great time next week. I'm looking forward to having a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a blast. But more than that, I pray that we worship the Lord. God gets the glory when the nations hear about Him. As we've talked about London, the one thing that we keep talking about is that the nations of the world are going to London. Our missionaries told us that the average immigrant in London is there only 18 months. And then they go back to their homeland. That means we have the opportunity to go to London and reach the world for Christ. Our response must be to remember, worship, and share his story. That's why we're here. That's why we're celebrating next week. That's why we're catering food in. That's why we have old friends coming back. That's why we have childcare taken care of so that we can all be in here gathered together, is so that we can remember, worship, and go out and share his story. Three takeaways and we'll be finished this morning. Number one, where is God leading me? Do I believe he will provide the way? We've said many, many times that our desire is that God will call some of our best from here to go there, wherever there is, on mission, on purpose, to reach the nations. Number one question we have to ask is, where is God leading me? And number two is, do I really believe he's going to provide the way? By the way, he's not going to bring you up to the banks of a flooded river and let you go. He's going to make a way for you to get across. Number two, do I expect God to do wonders among us? Do I come on Sunday expecting God to show up and to show out in some incredible way? Or do I just expect to get my favorite donut in my favorite seat and say hello to my favorite people? Number three, how has God been faithful to me? Do I remember? Do I worship? You see, as we gather next week to celebrate 30 years of Spring Valley Baptist Church, that's a great milestone for our church. It's a great way to worship and remember as a church. But what about us personally? How has God been faithful to me? How has he shown that? For some of us, we could spend a long time walking through stories of God's faithfulness time and time and time again and how he's provided. And that should just simply drive us to our knees in worship. I pray that's what takes place next week as we gather corporately. Father, this morning, we come here in this place to worship you. And Father, we are excited about next week where we will gather together and celebrate 30 years of your faithfulness for Spring Valley Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to enjoy our day. Help us to really just be happy and joyous together. Help us to really be involved in festivities of all that's taking place. But Father, beyond all of that, I pray that you would drive us to worship. As we reflect back on things that you've done in the life of our church, may we be in awe of your great hand as it has led us and guided us and shown us the way and provided for us and cared for us. And Father, may we look at your faithfulness in the past and recognize what's ahead of us, that you will continue to be faithful to us each and every day. Lord, may we set up for ourselves in our lives monuments, not to worship the monuments, but as ways to remember the great things that you have done, so that we don't forget how great you are and we remember how you are pushing us on towards new things. Father, this morning I pray if there's any of us in here that have never entered into relationship with you, that before we walk out of here, that we will say, I want to know this God. I want to know this God who loves me, who died for me, who has forgiven my sins. I want to know him. And Father, that today you would call sinners to yourself. Lord, for some of us, we may have been saved for so long that we have forgotten about all the things that you've done for us in the past. May we confess that sin of not remembering your faithfulness, and may we worship even in this moment. Father, thank you for being so, so good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for providing for us. May we constantly be reflecting on your great faithfulness. Now, friend, in the quietness of this moment, I'm just going to ask you two simple yet important questions. The number one question is this: do you know Jesus? Do you know this one who parted the Red Sea, who parted the Jordan River, who has power over all things? Do you know him? If not, when we stand to sing, Pastor Josh will be right down here on your right, I'll be down here on your left. Would you come and say to one of us, I want to know Jesus? Number one, do you know Jesus? Number two, do you remember his faithfulness in your life? Have you ever stopped to reflect back on all of the ways that God has led you and provided for you and cared for you? When you stop to think of those things, may it cause you to worship him. Lord, I pray that as we move forward towards celebrating 30 years here, it would be a joyous occasion of worship, personally and corporately. May you continue to use Spring Valley Baptist Church here and around the world to bring glory to your name by reaching the nations with the gospel. Help us to love you. Help us to obey you. Help us to step out in faith as these Israelites did. In Jesus' name, amen.